Okay, everybody. Welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. My name is Brother Carlos. We want to welcome you guys back out for the Sunday school hour. Sure is a blessing to see those of you who are able to make it here this evening. I hope and pray that you had a great weekend, and I hope and pray that you're ready for today's service. Amen. All right, would you guys do me a favor, and let's go ahead and turn our Bibles now to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. I'd like to go ahead and feed you for this Sunday school hour from yesterday's lesson that I delivered to our friends at Inland Baptist Church underneath the pastoral care of Brother Edgar Marquez. I'd like to pass along that same instruction concerning their overall theme for their 2023 year goal, for each one, reach one. It was just a great encouragement and teaching to instruct their church members to be faithful and ready to support the pastor's vision to reach people and then to disciple people and to keep that going, motivating by encouraging the members to have love for one another and to invest time and love and money and effort into each other, just like their pastor's doing and just like our Savior does every single day in all of our lives. Amen. So if you could do me a favor, hope you have a Bible open and following along with me now in the book of Romans chapter 8. Let's go now to verse number 21. Today, I'd just like to give you a quick meal concerning the purpose for discipleship. The purpose for discipleship. Let's go ahead and read the Bible and pray. Verse number 29, the Bible says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that it might be the firstborn among many brethren." Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, I need your help this morning. I need your help this afternoon to deliver the word of God to your people. I pray, God, that you would remove me out of your way. I desire to be a vessel through whom your Holy Spirit can empower, so that all the glory, honor, and praise goes right back to Jesus Christ, and others may just hear the Bible to encourage them, to point them back to Jesus Christ. Father, would you please fellowship with us, help our church members to be back here to church on time, and to get here later on for the Sunday service. We thank you ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen. So look now with me once again in verse number 29. As you guys can see here, what is the predestinated purpose for sinners when they get saved? It is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I want to make that very clear, friend, because the overall purpose for Christian discipleship is not to conform them after a church tradition. It is not to conform them after a church religious set of standards or rules or even convictions. It is to conform them to the image and person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Conformity to the Trinity, but specifically the Son of God. Once again, conformity to the Trinity, but specifically the Son of God. How do we do that? Well, it starts with obedience. It starts with obedience. I'm going to go ahead and read these verses for you now concerning your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, how he was obedient to his Father's command, and by virtue of his faithfulness and his obedience to God the Father, he was loved by the Father and therefore laid down the foundation for our example. So now look here in John 15, verse number 10. The Bible says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love." Now watch this. "Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So after you became a born-again Christian, somebody told you about Jesus Christ. Eventually, some of us got water baptized because that's a commandment for believers to follow Christ. But your Savior, the one in whom you put your faith in, he said he kept commandments. He said he obeyed God the Father. So in Christian discipleship, the foundation that we need to lay is obedience to the commands of God. That is the overarching first step in conforming to the image of Jesus. It is obedience to the commands of God. John chapter number 8. And for this time, you guys can just look up to the screen because I'm just going to go through these quickly. Verse number 29, the Word of God says here, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." So again, your Savior was obedient to the Father's commands. Romans chapter 5, the Bible teaches us in verse number 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." So your Savior, Jesus Christ, was obedient to the commands of God the Father. in Christian discipleship, what that looks like is me or a Christian leader or a stronger Christian than you when you just got saved, teaching you how to be obedient to the commands of God. That is the beginning steps of discipleship. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 8. The Bible says here, we'll just show you here through the screen here just for the sake of time. I have a lot of verses to just cover concerning this topic. The Bible says, speaking of Christ, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And one more on Christ's obedience, Hebrews chapter number 5. The Bible says in verse number 8, though he were a son. Now, this is one of the craziest verses I read in the Bible when I started to learn more from a Bible-based perspective in Bible school. Speaking of the Son of God, the second member of the Trinity, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So Jesus Christ did not know, if you will, all things pertaining to living as a man. It wasn't until he was incarnated that he learned how to live as a man. He learned those things growing up as a child. He learned how to resist temptation. He learned how to submit to God. He learned all these things as a man. So if the Son of God learned some things after his incarnation, what makes you and I think that we don't have likewise things to learn in the path of obedience to the commands of God the Father? So once again, what is the overall theme for Christian discipleship? It is conformity to the image of the Son of God. And the first step is obedience to the commands of God. Okay? What about Christian leadership? What about those of us that are here to remind you of that and to teach you of that? Well, Hebrews chapter 13 reminds us, and that's why it's good to be a part of a Bible-believing church, because all we're doing is showing you the Bible. Look at here in verse number 17. The Bible says here, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So I have a command from the Lord Jesus Christ to watch over your soul, to teach you. You have a command from the Lord Jesus Christ to be in submission to me spiritually in teaching you the Word of God and keeping you accountable to the good works that God has purposed for you. For example, being a godly husband, being a godly wife. For example, some of you are single, being pure in your body until you get married, giving of your finances, soul winning, all those things. We both have commands. But notice, that is within our path, the both of us, of discipleship to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We both have commands to obey. So again, we're all in it together. We're all in it together. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 that this was a part of the gospel. All these commands unto the obedience, that's all a part of our newfound faith now. In verse number 2, the Bible says, speaking of Christ, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, peace be multiplied. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 5, the Bible says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Another verse that is very similar to that is in Romans 16, 26. Once again, it's very similar, but just speaking of made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So when the gospel traveled from the Middle East, right, from Jerusalem to Samaria to the othermost parts of the earth, to Africa, to Europe, to Asia, and eventually to the United States, you know, all these lands, South America, North America, the heart of God Almighty was to teach sinners when they come to his Son to believe him, to receive him, it is to continue for the rest of their life to be obedient to his commands. That is what we're called to do. We are called to be obedient to the faith. And so as we are being discipled or discipling each other, you either are in one of the two positions. You're either discipling somebody because you've studied your Bible well enough now to know how not to be easily deceived by your heart's feelings and then hence false doctrine. That's how you can be an adequate discipler. And number two, you're either being discipled because you're still a newborn Christian. You're a babe in the faith. You're still learning and growing. But just to show you, it's obedience to the faith. We're all in it together to be conformed to his image. Some of those examples, for example, of commandments to obey, these are very rehearsing verses because we've been teaching you guys these way back in the day. I'll just give you a few. For example, some of you guys have work, and you guys are working for someone else, just like I am. Well, in Titus chapter 2, one of the commands that we both have, pastor and member of the church here, is doing whatever our bosses tell us to do that obviously is not going contrary to the faith. That's a command. Look at here. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, to please them well in all things, not answering again, not talking back. Amen. If they tell me I want you to do this, Carlos, yes, sir. Why? Because my Savior, my Jesus, I have been given his scriptures. A pastor is teaching me. I'm being learned. I'm being taught. I need to be obedient to the commands of his word. And he tells me as a Christian, as a representative, and as his disciple, I need to be going to that workplace with a good heart, a good attitude, a joyful spirit, and be submissive to the boss and all things. Notice that. And don't even talking back. I know we have a hard time, amen, but that's a part of discipleship. Another one is just next chapter, verse number one, chapter 3 of Titus. Put them in mind to be subject. So notice there, submission, subject. Your Savior submitted himself to the Father. Christian disciples submitting to Jesus as unto the Father. We're all in a submission, if you will, to someone. But now the good thing as a Christian, it's to God. Amen. We're no longer submissive to the devil, just, you know, sinning and doing whatever we want. And now as a Christian, we are free now to obey the commands of God. So now to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready. Now look at there, Christian. Every good work. So friend, that is going to be the middle growth, if you will. You just got saved. You have a joy. You have a zeal to learn more about God, to come to church, and to start learning the Bible now, right? Because you grew up with without a Christian household. You didn't grow up with a Christian daddy, a Christian mommy, and now you're learning more about God and how to live for the faith of Christ. And you're zealous, and you're emotional, and you're joyful at the beginning stages of your walk. Just like when you met that girl for the first time, and you're like, man, I'm going to, you know, pursue her, or vice versa, for the girl, for the boy. There was just a joy. There was an emotional desire in you to do everything you can to please the other person. You're ready to do any good work that came to get that resolution that you sought. I want you to consider that now with Jesus Christ. He wants you now, as his disciple, to be ready for every good work. Every good work. Not just some good work. Not just a little bit of good work. But every good work, one of those good works, coming to church on time, trying your best to be here every time the church is available to minister to you, to fellowship. Number two, discipleship. Number three, soul winning. Number four, giving. Number five, being a blessing by visiting each other and fellowshipping with each other. So all those type of things, you understand, being every good work, if we're disciples of Christ, we will obey that. If you're being a disobedient disciple, then you will not obey that. So we all need to work on that. Amen. Why is it, friend, that we need to be in discipleship from someone teaching us until we get to the point when we are strong enough to begin to teach others? It's because we can let them slip. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things, now listen, which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Friend, that's why I need to be in church every single Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. That's why I need to be listening to preaching almost every single day of the week. That's why I'm currently enrolled in Bible school, because I need someone to constantly teach me the Bible. Even though I've heard John 3:16 like over 100 times, I need to hear it again and again and again. You know why? Because this heart in this wretched Mexicano made flesh of dirt, it is deceitful, it's wicked. Before you know it, it'll want to slip out of the way, and it'll want to think on every other thing under the sun but Jesus, but God, because that's the sin nature in us that we're battling with. So, friend, that's why Christian discipleship is needed. It's a must, and it's mandatory according to the Bible, because as we put each other in mind of the words of Christ, and as we help others as well, it prevents us from letting his words slip out of our minds and out of our heart, and before you know it, we won't be going back to the world or backsliding because you're not letting them slip, because you're letting somebody constantly remind you. But when you start disregarding that and you become foolish, we're going to learn about that in our Sunday service today, you will slip. Before you know it, they will slip from here, and then before you know it, you'll begin to disregard the Word of God in general as a whole. Amen? Back in Colossians 3:22, very similar to Titus, just speaking of servants, obeying your masters, if you will. But the difference there in Colossians 3, I guess I'll just pull it up for you. This is another key element of discipleship. You just don't want to act like a Christian in front of your pastor, amen? You don't want to just act like a Christian in front of your husband, or when they're not home, you're acting like a different person, or vice versa for the husband outside of the wife, and et cetera, et cetera. Notice what it says here. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. So we don't just want to act like a Christian at church. We want to act like a Christian everywhere. Amen. We want to act like a Christian in the workplace, in the marriage, when I go home, and I'm in the privacy of my room when no one else is there, because someone is. Jesus, he's right here. So whatever you watch, he's right there. Whatever you do, he's right there. Whatever you're thinking on, he's right there, the Holy Spirit of God. Don't forget that, friend. So just don't do it to please men. Don't do it just to be seen of men. Amen. When that brother or sister comes around, don't just bust out your Bible acting like, oh, I've been reading my Bible all day. No, you haven't been. You can do it later on. Amen. Just be real. Just be real. So very similar. And then children, of course, we don't have them right now, but we teach them. Colossians 3:20, we teach them to obey their parents. Ephesians 6 and 5, Ephesians 6, 1, etc. Point number three. Christian discipleship is obedience to the commands of Christ. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse number 2. The Bible says here, after Jesus ascended back to the Father, remember that? He rose from the dead. 40 days he hung out with the disciples here and there, supernaturally appearing and disappearing. He finally ascended back to the Father in verse number 2. The Bible says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So what are we discipling each other from? The commandments. From who? Jesus Christ. Who were they delivered to? The apostles, by the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus commanded his disciples many times when he was on the earth. You can read that in Matthew 8:18, Matthew 11:1. Do you know that disciples obey the commands of their master? Look at this one. This is very interesting. Matthew chapter 21. In verse number 6, the Bible says, and the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. I wish I was there. I wish I was that every single day. But how many of you guys know Brother Carlos has a wretched flesh he fights with on a daily basis? How many of you guys know my wife? Same thing. She has her own flesh she battles with on a daily basis. And it has been more difficult, friend, on a daily basis. But if we're disciples, we obey the master's command, okay? We obey the master's command. What is a warning, however, to Christian leadership? Is it okay to speak to you authoritatively? You know, like an officer, if you will, or somebody who has power, even though I'm not your boss paying you money, even though I'm not like your husband, or if you will, in the position of that family relationship with the wife or somebody that you really dearly care about, is it okay to speak with authority? It is, but to do so graciously. Look at here in Luke chapter 4, verse number 22. Luke 4, verse number 22. We can't forget that when we're trying to disciple each other and speak with authority because the Word of God, we must do so graciously. Because if you come off to me, or if I come off to you, and I've heard some of you, and you've heard some of me before, man, I didn't like the way this person spoke to me. We're all natural because we have a natural flesh. We have feelings, and they get hurt. I understand. Mine have. You guys know my what I've gone through. But we must be careful to learn from those mistakes so we can speak more graciously the next time. Look at Luke 4:22. When Jesus was finished speaking in a synagogue, Bible says, and all bear him witness and wondered at the what? Gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. So if that's God manifest in the flesh, teaching the Word of God with authority, I mean, Jesus cast out devils. He rebuked this and he rebuked that. If he spoke graciously, so can you, so can I. So that's why you got to put away whoever those people might be on the social media you may watch, and they come off as bold and rebuking this and talking about bad people like that. When they begin to not speak graciously or meekly, they are not following the discipleship of Christ in that manner. They could be in other areas, but they're not in that area. You got to be careful. Colossians 4:6 tells us that we can do this. Bible says here, in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. I think that comes naturally, though. As you and I build a relationship with each other, we begin to learn more of each other. We begin to learn more of our spirit. And some of you may be a little bit more humble, and so that's why we need to be speaking to you in a more humble tone than the brother over here who just needs to hear it a little bit more raw, if you will. You understand? You know what I'm talking about when you have your coworkers. You know how you need to talk with that guy or that girl or your husband or your wife or your family members. You know how people need to hear you speak to them. But all I want to remind you is speak graciously when you do deliver those words. And then again, when they fail to do so to you, remember your Savior told you they're not perfect. Neither are you. So then you can be more graciously to them. That's all I'm just trying to remind you of in love. Point number four, in Christian discipleship, not only are we trying to conform to the image of Christ, not only are we trying to teach each other the commandments, not only are we trying to speak so in an authoritative manner with grace, but we also got to do it with meekness, with meekness. Look at here in Ephesians chapter 4. Meekness, by the way, is a fruit of the Spirit. Can't forget that. You can read that in Galatians 5. But look at here in Ephesians chapter number 4. The Bible says in verse number 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. So we all are working for Jesus. All right, don't forget that we all are in a vocation. Now look at verse 2. But how do we work for the Lord? Are you ready for this? With all lowliness and meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another in love. So before you want to start learning about the deep doctrines and end time stuff, and what about the giants and all these UFOs, when you know people want to excite their ears and tickle their ears with all that doctrine from that guy, why don't you just work more about how to be patient with people? Because if you can't work on being patient with people, that knowledge that you're trying to gain, it's not going to benefit you at all. And God's not going to bless that when you're trying to deliver that from somebody else down the line, because you're an impatient man. So I want you to think about that now in discipleship. When we're teaching you the commands of God in an area that you know that you're struggling with or you need help with, you should focus on that first before the next thing. So versus all the information that we can teach you behind this pulpit, you know we have great materials and great people. If there really is other things like emotions or attributes, and that's what you need to work on, let's work on that together. Let's work on meekness. Let's work on patience. But I will tell you, and I will warn you, when you ask God to help you with patience, the only way that that's going to happen is when you are surrounded with impatient people. So don't be surprised when you have a person come into your life at the street or on the corner or in the market or at Arby's through the drive-thru last night, amen, and they give you an attitude or they come off the wrong way, but you just prayed to God two nights ago, Lord, help me to be more patient. He's helping you. Do you not see it? He's helping you work that out. So I just want you to be mindful of that. He will do it. But in order for him to work out all these attributes, you obviously have to be surrounded by a circumstance to exercise that through you. So if I want to be more forgiving, I may go through a circumstance that I need to learn how to forgive that person, because that's going to strengthen forgiveness in me. You guys understand what we're saying here. So that's important in a Christian discipleship. So meekness. It should also be incorporated when reproving people. You know, people like to correct people. People want to just get that right in somebody else's life. But don't forget, you better do it with a spirit of meekness. I'll just quickly show you this before we close. 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 25. I know a lot of believers that they get excited about, you know, reproving or rebuking and all that. And when a Christian is, you know, having faults in their life, you just want to let them fall. No, that should not be your heart, because that's not the heart of Christ. That's the flesh. Look at here. Bible says in verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So when you start acting like brother or sister wayward, and you know you're acting silly and you have some faults and you know you're not coming to church here and there, you're struggling, my job is to instruct you meekly, meekly. Remember, authoritatively, but graciously, authoritatively, but with meekness, saying, hey, I'm no different than you, man, but you know what you're doing is wrong. Sister, you know what you're doing is wrong. I'm not perfect, but here's the word of God. Here's what it says. I'm willing to help you through it. So just know that you always got to have a spirit of meekness. You can read that also in 1 Peter 3:15. So from where your pastor studies from, to instruct, to teach, to guide, to equip, to provoke, to challenge, to feed, to nurture, to admonish, to oversee every single one of you, praise God for Christian discipleship. It is when the man of God simply takes the word of God and feeds the people of God to be more like Jesus in spirit, that's inwardly, and truth, that's doctrinally. Let me repeat that. It's when the man of God takes the word of God to feed the people of God to be more like Jesus Christ in spirit, that's inwardly, and truth, that's doctrinally. That is the ultimate purpose, friend, for the leadership and Christian discipleship. So as we have a few minutes left for the Sunday school hour, let's go to Colossians chapter number 3, and let's turn together now to verse number 10, Colossians 3, verse number 10. When the Bible says to worship God in spirit and truth, remind yourself, spirit, inwardly, all that, the heart, the mind, the soul, the strength, to be like Christ. And then truth, that's doctrinally, that's your conduct, that's your practice, that's everything in action, okay? Look at Colossians 3 as we come to a close, verse number 10. The Bible says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. When you got saved, your first birth ethnicity died in Christ. We are no longer distinguished and separated before the Father as a Mexican or a black man or a white man or a female or male. In Christ, you know what you are? A Christian. You're a Christian. Now look at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, that's a reference to Jesus Christ, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, there it is again, long-suffering, there it is again, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, you think God didn't know you're going to have problems with people? Even as Christ forgave you, are you ready for the command, church? So also do ye. So now let's think about this as we come to a close. Your Savior hung on the cross for a couple of hours. He was bleeding. He was dying out as he was paying the penalty for the sins of the whole world. Your great-great-great-great-granddaddy you never met, he died for their sins. Your great-great-great-great-grandma you never met, he died for her sins. He died for the sins of the whole world. As he was hanging there on the cross, and the Romans were making fun of him, and the Jews were making fun of him, meekness, kindness, long-suffering, forbearing was in that heart the entire time, and it was being displayed the entire time. So then years later, you're born, you're up in this world, you're lost, you get saved, you're learning now about Jesus Christ on that cross. Here's the heart of God Almighty. Before the knowledge, before all the wisdom of the end times and prophecy and blah, blah, blah that tickles ears, he just wants you to be more kind. He just wants you to be more forgiving. He just wants you to be more forbearing. Don't give up on people so easily and so quickly because he didn't give up on you. So when we start thinking about that now as a disciple of Jesus Christ, that is the overarching purpose, is to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. It is conformity to the Trinity, but specifically the Son of God. I'm telling you, friend, before God is going to bless me more with knowledge, you know, like rightly dividing the Bible and blah, blah, blah that we all hear about all the time, man, what if he really just needs for me to learn how to be patient? And what if God just deals with me for like 5 years on that one attribute? And no wonder why I can't really comprehend other spiritual things, if you will, because I'm not letting him deal with me on that one area of my life. Or it could be forgiveness, or it could be forbearance. Look at what it says in verse 13 again. So also do ye. So Jesus Christ, right now, with every single one of his disciples on this earth, churches that you agree with or don't agree with, if they have the gospel, they're his disciple. Every single one of his disciples, you know what he is? He's merciful. You know what he is? He's kind. You know what he is? He's humble. You know what he is? He's forgiving. So now the next time you think about telling somebody at work, I'm a Christian, and you tell them I'm a Baptist in practice and all this and that, the King James, blah, 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 I hope they see this before they hear this. See what I'm saying? I hope they see the heart of Christ in you the love of Christ through you before they hear all the knowledge that you're trying to display. Because if that's not there first, friend, that ain't going to benefit no one else. Amen. So again, Christian discipleship, obedient to the commands of God, to the image of his son, working in us spiritually, in the heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then in truth, outwardly, my conduct, my action, putting all this into practice. That is the purpose for Christian discipleship. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the Sunday school hour. It is a huge blessing, Lord, to see those who made it here as they had a time of rest. God, amen, for their 1 hour of time relief from that clock change. Father, it's good to see people here. Lord, we pray for those that may still be on their way for the Sunday service. We pray for new visitors, Lord, every week, Lord. I always hope. We may never know if we get a visitor here at church, God, but if we do, I pray that Brother Giovanni, Sister Kina, Sister Eileen, my wife, and I are ready to greet them with the love of Christ, the kindness of Christ, the meekness of Christ, so they can feel this is a good church that loves people, that is willing to teach them about your command. So, Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. We look forward to surrendering more of our heart to you for the Sunday service. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, we'll see you in about 15 minutes. Amen. Amen. All right. Welcome.